when you're banned on YouTube, I'm pulling up the hub to watch the videos. I'm there. I've been there every step of the way. I'm just broke, so I ain't doing no Patreon. I don't need them early and ad free. I'll watch the ads. It's all right. I just had to get that out the way, just like I did with TBH. I had to get out the way, bro, because this is gonna. I'm gonna be doing a lot of stuff.
I am subscribed as well. I don't know about the hub part, but yeah, I am. I'm happy, man. Nice to have you.
No, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I mean, I pay for a lot of burner accounts, about like 497,000 of them, but I appreciate the 3,000 genuine ones. So it means a lot.
Jesus Christ.
I just want you to know, Damo, we were live when everybody saw you on your knees.
Hey, that's fine. I won't wipe my mouth off. It's okay. I won't wipe my mouth either. I don't care.
Oh, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
I'm a proud fan. I don't care what nobody's listening. I've already warned niggas in Discord. I let people know already. Listen, I've waited for this. I manifested this for a while. Listen, dreams come true. I planted the seeds for this ages ago.
Well, okay. There it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode, a special episode of the Let's Keep It a Buck podcast, the only podcast where apparently we are proud to be on our knees. Yay!
I have Dr. J knee pads on right now.
This is insane.
Bro, you're crazy.
You see that B-Souls isn't with us today? He's feeling a little under the weather, but that is okay. We didn't replace him, but we have somebody here special with us. The one, the only, Chiseled Adonis. Chiseled Adonis, how you doing today, my brother?
I'm doing all right. I'm happy to be here. And for those of you who don't know, get familiar. I am the diligent, vigilant, meticulous, sagacious, conscientious, analytical, methodical, individual, the Chiseled Adonis. Yes, I'm happy to be here. Let's keep it a buck.
Okay. I need to get one of those, a fire intro. Damo, how you doing today?
I am fucking magnificent. I can't even compete. How do you compete with that? I'm magnificent. I've heard that intro for years, nigga. I am fucking on cloud nine right now.
Sage, how are you doing today?
I'm good, brother. I'm good, man. Not as much as Damo, though, bro. God. I'm good.
And I'm doing fantastic. Listen, if you're new to this and you want to be true to this, make sure you hit that join button. That join button gets you into the Discord. The Discord gets you into the debauchery. Earlier, we watched the And One mixtape 30 for 30. And then right after that, we had yet another sex ed class. Don't know what we're doing in there, but we're saving lives, apparently. Make sure you do that. Hey, if you clip anything from this stream, make sure you hashtag LKIAB. And last but not least, this right here is a super chat. Your boy Phil says... Chiseled Adonis in the building. Question for Damo and Sage. How do you feel about Nick Folk?
Fuck Nick Folk. Fuck Nick Folk. That's how I feel.
Yeah. Sage, how you feel about Nick Folk?
Retweet? Yeah. I don't even care about bro like that.
This is crazy. An all black pod. Listen, we will stop everything that we are doing in order to read your super chat, no matter what you say. It can be as controversial as possible. I want to start it off this way. Chiseled Adonis, Adonis?
Yeah. Chiseled? Go by Adonis. Yeah, call Adonis works.
Adonis. Okay, there we go. Yeah. Adonis. First of all,
Adonis.
You tweeted...
Yeah, Adonis.
Yeah, gotcha. Adonis. Yeah. No, I'm playing. But you tweeted out that you wanted to do some like podcasting and stuff. Is there a specific mission that you have?
Mission regarding podcasting?
Like going on people's podcasting, accepting invitations. Is there a message that you want to get out there? I just want to...
Nah, I'm just a man of the people. So, I mean, somebody got a podcast and they're like, hey, man, you want to come on the podcast? I pull up.
Well, okay. Can I ask what happened to the pod that you had? I want to say maybe a year and a half ago, I want to say. You and the other gentleman, forget his name. I was into that shit. I 5-6 episodes deep, loving it. What happened with that?
Oh, life happened. See, he had he made a transition, not of gender, but he made a transition from comedy to credit. Mm. So he changed his his profession. So since that happened, he got bombarded with a lot of work at the time. Mm-hmm. So then I think we had a window to where we could have kept this sweet, but then we couldn't really hit that window. So at that point, we like, yeah, we kind of, I don't want to say it's disbanded. Maybe later in life, we might revisit it. But at the moment, there's our schedules, they just don't line up.
He started fixing people's credit.
Yeah. He actually scaled his business in a year. He went from $0 and his business doing six figures now. So I mean, hey, the brother winning. I got his bank account information, so I'm winning too. But what we're not talking about.
That's it. For those that don't know, and I we have some people that don't know, so just inform them. Tell us a little bit about what you do, what your niche is, and what makes you so bannable.
Well, first and foremost, I do comedy and all kinds of, you know, content creation. Now, what makes me so bannable, I guess, is it's I don't want to say it's that it's raw, but it's kind of, that's probably what it is. I kind of say anything. There's no filter that exists there. I don't believe in, you know, editing things that need to be said. First thing that come off my mind, I say it. There's no hesitation. I just say it. So that's probably what leads to my, you know, content being bannable. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I don't think there's anything. I just make videos on literally anything and everything.
What's the last platform that you got banned from?
The most actually TikTok. They took my third TikTok down. What was this, last month? And then I got booted from Pornhub for the second time. So I think it was
second.
Yeah. I had two Pornhub accounts that was taken down. But yeah, I think it's either Pornhub or TikTok. I think they both happened on the same day. I can't recall.
Oh my God.
I gotta ask. Okay, ignore the first time. How did you get banned from Pornhub the second time?
Well, it was kind of just the same thing. Evidently, you can't be a porn star who don't do porn. So I was just posting like the same, you know, the videos over there. What's funny about it was the whole reason why I ended up posting content on Pornhub is because I watched Avengers Infinity War on Pornhub for my second rewatch because I was going to pay money to go to the theaters, but I didn't have much time. So when I typed in, you know, Avengers Infinity War, watch for free or whatever, the fourth link was a Pornhub link. So I'm like, okay. It's kind of weird. Hopefully, I'm not watching the wrong version of Avengers. It was a full movie. So I watched it on Pornhub, and it gave me an idea. The light bulb went off. Said, yo, what if I post my videos on Pornhub and become a porn star who don't do porn? And I was getting blocked already from Facebook and everything like that. So I went to Pornhub, and evidently, you can't post, you know, your own videos on Pornhub now. Because I think there was somebody who was underage, but then kind of lied about it. So they started, you know, seriously vetting people's videos. So since that was the case, they ended up taking me off. But I made like $292 from Pornhub in my lifespan on there. So am I considered a porn star? I got paid like one.
I'd say enough. Yeah, you were a whore.
Yeah, pretty much. I wasn't showing no ass for no cash, but I was definitely talking about it.
Made more than me, so you definitely made it. I ain't going to lie.
What did I say?
You were getting some traction, like people were actually finding your stuff on Pornhub and watching your
stuff. Yeah, I had half a million views on there. Damn, Damo done lift his hand. But yeah, I had half a million views on there. I was I think I had like 1,400, you know, subs. The goal was to get to 50,000 because once you pass 50,000 subscribers on Pornhub, they have to give you a custom jacket and acknowledge you as a verified porn star. So since that was the case, I'm like, yo, let me try to, you know, encourage people to go ahead over there and just subscribe. I don't care if you watch, but just go ahead and subscribe. Get me a situation to where they got to send me a jacket. They can't now break their rules when I pass that threshold. But unfortunately, they didn't give me the boot, you know, before I could even get there.
I go stupid with a Pornhub jacket. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, I wear that everywhere. I go.
I ask, what was the process of you being banned on LinkedIn? Is that what you was banned on LinkedIn?
No. It was on Linktree. I got banned on Linktree. I can't even tell you the process because I had no clue.
Hold on, y'all.
Somebody had commented on one of my videos and then just said, "Yo, you know you banned on Linktree, right? What you talking about? My link in my bio is Linktree." So I clicked on Linktree. And it said this user's been banned. I'm like, the fuck going on here? This don't make no sense. How you get banned on Linktree? All you do is put up links. That's how I knew somebody got it out for me.
That's crazy. The most bannable man in the world. I've never, when he posted it, I never like, it didn't dawn on me how crazy it is to be banned on there. And then he went through the process. I'm like, what? The Pornhub thing as crazy as it is, makes sense, reasonable. You can't be posted any content on Pornhub. Fair. Linktree, crazy. Crazy.
It's literally just links. Like, you just putting links up there. You mean to tell me it's like getting, if I got banned on like Quora or something like that, and it's just a bunch of, like, all I'm doing is just posting, you know, inspirational quotes. Yeah, we don't like this guy. What he got to say? Get him the hell up out of here. Like, it's crazy.
Are they giving you reasons as to why you're getting banned, though?
No, no, it's as vague as possible. Like, they'll just say, hey, you violated our community guidelines. All right, cool. Mm-hmm. What's your community guidelines? Well, it's this long list of things. All right, can you tell me specifically what it is? Think about, like, so let's say you got pulled over, right? And mm-hmm. the cop said, yo, you violated one of the traffic laws, and they handed you a ticket. You look at the ticket, and it says violated traffic law. All right, which one did I violate? One of the traffic laws. So now y'all both looking at each other. It turned into like rush hour when they were talking like, oh, you, me, you. So that's the kind of situation that I'm in with all of these different places on the internet. Like, there's no actual explanation as to why they banned me. It's just, yo, you banned now, fam. And that's the way they roll with it.
We already that's got tough. Some super chats coming in. Black and Brown Films was fire. Missed that channel too, Adonis. Also, what is your game 6 prediction tonight?
Oh, game 6, Clay going to go off, and then Warriors are winning tonight. Now, granted, Draymond did talk in the media, kind of, you know, overlooked the Celtics, talking about they ain't no LeBron, which he's not wrong, but they might use that as motivations. But if it's a closeout game in the finals, if you needed added motivation, I think something wrong with you. But I'm pretty sure the Warriors are not going to go back to San Francisco. They're going to take care of business tonight.
I agree. If the Celtics can't beat the Golden State Warriors, like, when Steph has a bad game, I don't know what they're doing. Like, yeah. I don't, yeah.
It's too ugly. Yeah. It's too ugly for Boston Celtics and 7. Y'all looking, hell nah, you ain't beating them twice, bro. Hell nah.
Listen, y'all know my motto, man. If the Warriors didn't win in 5, if they don't win in 5, I'm taking the Celtics at all times. Warriors didn't win in 5. So, Celtics in 6 was the saying. Obviously, that can't be the case now. Celtics in 7. Yeah. I'm riding with the boys.
You don't even believe that. You just think it's
I own. Don't believe that. I'm just not betting the Warriors.
You don't even believe that.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
He gonna say Celtics is 7, and then he actually gonna put all his money on the Warriors.
I knew it. Yeah, I bet.
He's not going for it, man.
Let me read one more before we get into the real questions. Damo's Dog says, OMG, OMG, OMG. Chiseled Adonis. I'll bite the mess out of you if I wasn't in this cage. I love you. Ayo, Pops. I'm kind of hungry and I'm tired of chew toys and all that.
Oh, man.
That's Damo's Dog. Damo's Dog.
Bite me? What do they mean by bite me? What?
You don't want to know.
Pokemon?
You don't want to know. You don't want to know what they mean.
Bite me. Let's get into the real questions. Where are they? First of all, how did you get started into this niche, this industry that you're in? I guess comedy. Like, what made you get into comedy and start taking it seriously?
Well, I was in college. I was playing football, and then I realized that wasn't gonna work out. I wasn't gonna make it to the league. So what ended up happening was my business law professor actually had pulled me to the side in class. He said, "Yo, what are you doing here?" I'm like, "What you talking about? I'm not even failing your class. Why you gonna disrespect me like that in class?" But he's like, "Nah, you should." And he ran down a list of different entertaining things that I did throughout the semester that I had no clue that I did, because I'm one of them subtly funny kind of guys. Like, I'm naturally funny. I don't think about it. I don't gotta try to make people laugh. They just laugh, and I look at them like, "Yo, something wrong with you." But he told me, "Yo, you know, you're a funny guy. You should go back to your room and really think about entering the entertainment business." So I'm like, okay. So I sat there and I had did a life reflection on everything. And then I happened to see the one conduit through my life was that I was funny. So I made a decision right there. I switched my degree from a 4-year to a 2-year, graduated with my associates. I only had a semester left to go, got up out of there, and then worked for a whole year. But I knew that I was saving all my money to go into comedy. I started in stand-up, but then when I was like a month in, and I had noticed when you first start in stand-up, you're not performing in front of, you know, the max is maybe 50 on a very good night, if you happen to get booked on a show with somebody else who's already, you know, relatively known, or people bring a lot of people. So I was thinking about, like, yo, wait a minute. What if I did this online thing? And initially, I wasn't even going to get on the internet because I thought it was kind of hacky in a sense, because you're not really talking to anybody. It's just you and a camera. But it was one particular day I was driving to the gym. It started raining. Nobody on the road knew how to drive no more. Like, we going 10 miles per hour. It's drizzling outside. It don't make sense. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to record myself in real time in a rant. 2.5 minutes, posted it on Facebook, woke up the next day, it had 1,000 views. I'm like, wait a minute. Okay. that I ain't never had this much eyes. I ain't really post on social media like that. So I said, all right, let me give this a shot. And here, 6 years later, just passed 500,000 2 days ago.
Hey, congratulations on 500K, 500K, 500K,
500K. Hey, it's a big one, boy.
So with that being said, if you had to start over, and for anybody that's aspiring to do this, would you suggest that they just go straight to social media or try stand-up?
I would say do both. Definitely, if you're trying to get into comedy, definitely do stand-up as you're doing, you know, the content creation. Because when the content creation blows up, and when it does, because if you stay consistent and you have a good, you know, good videos that you put out there, or you truly believe in what it is that you're doing, it'll take a lot of time, or it could be a short amount of time. And when you do blow up and you want to do stand up, you don't want to have a situation where now you got the demand, but you ain't ready yet. Like HaHa Davis, he had gotten to 1 million followers before he ever did stand up once. And he told the story, I think it was on The Breakfast Club. His first time ever doing stand up was in front of 4,000 people, and he bombed. He did terrible. Like, motherfucker, I don't know if they was booing. He said they was booing. I don't know if he was, you know, kind of embellishing the story. But you don't want to be in a situation where, hey, you want to do stand-up. Stand-up is your end game. And then now you built up all these followers, and you get in front of strangers with a small sprinkle of your following in there, and they don't find you funny. The people will turn on you. It's a terrible business if you're not ready. So I definitely suggest, if you go and do the content creation and you know and you want to get into stand up, do both at the same time and just build yourself up. Like Rennie, he did it the right way.
Mm-hmm. Not gonna lie, man. I'm kind of glad I bombed when I did. You know, kind of, it's crazy listening to him talk about his growth and, you know, his journey. How he's just naturally funny. I've heard a lot of the same things about myself, so it's pretty, you know. I you can see the influence there. You know, it's crazy.
Nasty.
It's great.
He's so nasty.
Yeah, heard a lot of the same things, you know.
Super, yeah, super duper nasty. So one, are you gonna do, I'm assuming you don't do it now, but are you gonna get back into stand-up? And I gotta know your worst stand-up story, your worst experience doing stand-up.
Okay. Am I going to get back into it? Yeah. The goal was this summer I was going to, you know, go heavy back into it. But I got a lot of different things. Like I kind of didn't expect, because I knew social media and, you know, YouTube, it was going to get big while I was doing it, because I actually really enjoy what it is that I do. So I do it more for me than for the people, because you kind of got to love your craft if you really want to go somewhere. Like, you can fake it for a very long time, but if you truly love this shit and it starts growing, then you try to take as many opportunities as it, you know, has coming. So, but with stand-up, I'm going to try to get, you know, back into it heavy, because right before the pandemic, I was going to go full swing into it. And then obviously the world shut down. So I just focused heavily on social media, and then social media started growing like crazy. So, but I do have my connect still from when I was doing it. So I'm going to get deeper into it as the year continues. But I'd have to say the worst stand-up story that I had was I was doing a small show, a small intimate show in New York. It was at New York Comedy Club. I forget what the address was, but I'll never forget this. So I'm getting on stage. I think I wasn't the feature, but I was on the lineup, right? So then still nobody knew who I was. So we start the show. It's like maybe 14 some people that's in there. Somebody goes before me, bombs. They do terrible. I can't remember who the headliner was, but the people actually really showed up just for the headline. So while this person is bombing, they got like, they just got the light. So they really only got about, I think it's a minute or 2 minutes remaining on their set. And I'm getting ready to go up. I think there was a group of 10 people who all came together. Mind you, it's like 13, 14, 15 people that's inside here. They all got up and walked out. And while they were walking out, they were talking about, yeah, you know, we're just going to come back in for the headline. I'm standing as they walking past me, getting ready to go back on stage. So about 66% of the audience just dipped. So now it's just me and 5 people. So now I get on stage. These 5 people here, they listening to me. And I'm starting, this is like, I think I'm 6 months in. So I'm starting to set, and I like to do a little bit of crowd work, do a little bit of back and forth. One dude gets up, goes to the bathroom. We down to 4. Somebody phone ring. They ring is still on. They get up. They go outside to go take the phone call. We down to 3. So now it's me, 3 people, the producer, the other comedians that's, you know, waiting to go up. And I'm doing my stuff, but I'm panicking right now because ain't nobody here. There's one other person just sitting there. They staring at me. They looking at the door. They staring at me. They looking at the door. I'm in the middle of doing my joke. And I'm looking at this dude like, yo, he about to get up. And I'm having a conversation with myself in the middle of me trying to tell this joke here. Son get up and he walk out. So now I'm like, yo, we down to two. This crazy. So now I gotta acknowledge the elephant in the room. It's like, yo, it's really just the three of us right now. One of the funniest moments of my life. He looked at me and said, it's just one now. And got up and walked out. I said, wait a minute. So it's me and one person. So, I have a high level of self-esteem. I got a high level of self-esteem. But at that point, I ain't never felt so embarrassed in my life. So homie who's sitting there looking around like, yo, I'm the last one here. So it kind of reminded me of that old joke that they had in the video on Facebook when there was a ding, people would just stand up. And then after about like 10 minutes, everybody got conditioned of when it dings, you're supposed to stand up. So last person who's standing there like, yo, everybody else left, I might as well just leave too. So I'm dead standing on stage by myself. No audience. I still got 2.5 minutes left. It's just me and the producer. And I'm looking at him. He looking at me. And I'm like, yo, there ain't no way you can leave. You the fucking producer of the doggone show or whatever. So I'm standing on stage for like 2.5 minutes. I'm still trying to do my stuff. At one point, it's like nobody's here. So the last minute is just straight up silence. I'm standing there like Will Smith on the last episode of Fresh Prince, staring at the abyss of darkness. And then once he was like, once I saw him put up the light, I put the mic down. I walked out. I ain't talked to nobody for like a week, bro. That was the lowest point in stand-up ever in my life.
Nah, that's it. Hell nah.
That's crazy.
Hey, shout out to Crazy Banana for the 100. He says, verified porn star jacket is wild. Nah, that's... Did they funnel back in when the main act, like it was time for them to perform?
Yeah, when I came outside, it's like the 10 people were just standing there. Like who the feature comedian started going up, and then two of them ended up going back inside. The one dude who stared at me and said, it's only one now. He walked back inside. I wanted to punch this dude in the damn jaws. But I'm like, yeah, I can't fight him now because I ain't got no bail money. And he white. I'm going to jail. I'm fit the description color. It's a wrap for me.
You definitely can't do that.
That's a crazy story.
Nah, that's absolutely insane. Let's get into a couple of questions. What's the most misunderstood thing about you?
The most misunderstood thing about me. That's a great question. What is the most misunderstood? Oh, probably my net worth. You know, you Google me, it changes every day. Like couple years ago, I think it was last year, it said 1.7 million. This time around, I think it's like 800, something like that. I'm broke, baby. I ain't got no money. So, I guess that's low hanging fruit, but the boy ain't got no bread. So, I guess that maybe.
I see.
I have to think about something else.
See a lot of money over here.
You think has there been a report that's like accurate though to the net worth?
Nah, not at all. Not at all. Like they all overshooting it. Like I look at it like I think the money that they think I have is probably, you know, what I would have had if I never had like copyrights or anything of that nature. Then that's probably what I would have been sitting on, but I ain't got it. I can't tell you how many people send me links or they GoFundMe. I'll be looking at them like, yo, I need a GoFundMe. I don't know why you thought how I'm going to donate nothing. We both about to be standing here while your father dying of cancer. I'm sorry, but what you want me to do? I can't do nothing, fella. I'm sorry.
Ben told people, I started GoFundMe, I'm scamming you. I started GoFundMe, I'm lying my ass off. I didn't get shot. My mom is okay. Grandma's fine. Sister ain't got no disease. I'm scamming you. Don't ever donate to my GoFundMe, bro. I'm gonna rob you.
So
I'm gonna fucking rob you.
So let me ask you this. I know a running bit would be the professional stay-at-home son. As mm-hmm. someone who just officially turned pro at becoming a stay-at-home son, officially became pro at it. Any tips for the people out there, the amateur stay-at-home sons that's about to make that pro leap?
Well, for one, make sure them corners is clean. Make sure the mail gets inside at all time, And when the food is ready, and you know everybody done ate, clean the damn dishes. You know, don't leave no dishes over there. Your mom come home, your dad come home, your siblings happen to be around. Make sure everybody is good. You are the bitch of the family, and make sure that everybody knows you are happy with being the bitch.
Oh wow, great advice. I ain't gonna lie.
That's facts. I ain't gonna lie.
That's great advice. Great advice.
Hey, how do you feel about Country Wayne? I know that that's like, how do you feel about Country Wayne?
I like his stuff. I think it's gotten to a point now where he's gotten so big, so he doesn't necessarily have to try as much as he did before. But he made it work. He certainly made it work. He's expanding. He's growing. He's got a ton of people who still, you know, mess around and tune in. If not, it's a larger audience now than it was before. His stand-up stuff, not so much. I'm not really that much into it. But with the videos, it's kind of like I think he's just coasting right now
mm-hmm.
with what he got going. I think he's coasting. Like, it works for people who are really big fans of him. But, like, new people who are trying to get into it, I don't know.
So, Omar, I mean, I feel like I know where you're going with this. Maybe I don't, but well, I don't think Country Wayne's that funny. I don't think Country Wayne's that funny. I don't. I've never been a big Country Wayne guy. What made you bring up Country Wayne, Omar?
Well, no, because Country Wayne, I listened to some of his stuff about how much money he makes and his outlook on it, and I didn't realize how big he was on Facebook. And Facebook is like a platform that a lot of people just don't even
think about,
you know, dive deep into. Yeah, but Country Wayne is very interesting. I wanted to know, because my real question is, how do you feel about Desi Banks and Drewski? But more specifically, Desi Banks.
With Drewski, to be honest with you, I don't find.
Oh no, that's crazy. That's crazy. Oh, you don't find Drewski funny?
I don't find Drewski funny. With Desi Banks, it works for a certain demographic. So I guess for that, all right. Same thing with Drewski for a second. But with Drew, I just don't find him. I think he's funny to look at. I think more people laugh at him than they do with him.
With him,
but you know, it's. I never found him funny. Like, I feel like he wanted them industry plants. I ain't hating on the brother. Get what you got, you know, get it how you live. It just feel weird to me.
Okay, I can understand that. But do you think that Desi Banks is funny?
He's a hit and miss. I think he's a hit and miss. What's that character that he is it
Parlay or
Yeah, something like that. Like, because with the skits and everything, I guess if you grew up in that environment or you used to seeing that kind of stuff, but mm-hmm. it feels very repetitive in a sense with the skits. Like, anybody who's making skits, you got to constantly, like, RDC, they do different things, so you don't feel like you constantly, like, it's very stale or whatever. But with Desi, sometimes, you know, it's a hit and miss. You never know, like. You'll be looking at something like, yo, I've seen this. I feel like I've seen this 3-4 times before, but other people laughing, so I'm a laugh too. And then with Drewski, I never was able to, you know, I never found homie funny. I ain't gonna be that person in the comments say, you never funny. I just don't. I never been into it.
Then this definitely gets me into my next one. If you had to rank, I'm gonna call this social media comedy, specifically black social media comedy though, because I think that that's like its own niche. I don't know white creators that be doing the same thing. So, but social media comedy, that Kyle guy, Drewski, Desi Banks, Country, Kyle yeah, that Kyle, the bigger light skinned dude that people say look like, ha ha Davis. You don't know who I'm talking about?
They call him all respect to him. They call him Drewski Jr. type shit. Like, they literally
the light skinned dude that like wear the bonnet. He do like the mom skits and stuff. He be in the bonnet and everything, yeah, the robe.
Yeah, he do a lot of mom skits. Damn,
yeah, him.
I'm literally typing in wannabe Drewski.
Yeah, like wannabe Drewski. That's the run on joke
that's
about
the,
him.
That's what
that is. That's, he does do a lot of like Drewski light skits. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, Buddy, I thought Buddy was going good on TikTok. He's like a Fat King batch. Like, it's damn. Not funny, but
oh my god,
you know, damn. It's a market for it somewhere. It's funny to somebody.
Yeah, King batch is.
King Batch was never funny.
I ain't gonna cap. Nah, on Vine, I didn't get
like he had 7 seconds when he was on Vine. And you could only do so much, but oh, I ain't never see that dude a day in my life.
Okay.
I think I might have bought a bootleg CD from that brother before.
Yo, come on, God.
Well, he's not funny. You don't have to.
Is his name Risky or something like that? He was on episode Risky of Everybody Hate. I think he the modern day Risky or some shit.
His name is Wannabe Drewski for real. So okay, King Batch included. Give me your top three out of social media comedy, and then give me your bottom three. The worst guys, you don't know why they on the net. Honestly, fuck them. Like, because okay. For me, my worst three is King Batch, Wannabe Drewski, and I ain't gonna lie, Haha Davis after the first big fella, it was over with.
I actually, to be honest with you, I agree. Like, I don't like it got to a point where it was like, all right, because even with the jokes, because a lot of times when you telling jokes or you making these kinds of video, you don't want to be in a situation where like all your jokes is like low hanging fruit. Like, don't get me wrong, I'll say a lot of things. Like, I'll say certain things over and over. But the reason why I do that is I want it to be something that's quotable. A lot of times, these people's whole joke is just the quotables. So you can't roll with that. You got to have something underlying that's there so the quotable doesn't get stale. If it's like every video, it's the you got the same core stuff. It's like, come on now. But if I had to put a top three, RDC's in there for the top three. Mm-hmm. Daquan Wiltshire, I'd throw him Daquan's up nice. There as well. Wow, which man. Hilarious because I'm like, yo, we think very similar. Whenever I be seeing a video, I'm like, oh man, I gotta link up with that brother. I throw him in there, and then for a third, I'd probably go Long Beach Griffey. Like is it Trey Rags? He's starting to really, you know, get up in there. But I think with Long Beach Griffey, the reason why I'd put him in there, and Caleb City is there as well, but I'd put Long Beach in there because of the his comedy and his humor, very similar to it's incredibly dark. And I roll with that. And I love the fact that he's unapologetic about it. He does it regardless of the fact that people, oh, man, we're going to can't. No, fuck you guys. I'm gonna say what I want. So I'd say those three are definitely there for me. Now, if I had to say the bottom three.
Before you go, this includes like Jadeon, if you're familiar, Kaisa Nat.
So streamer. Oh, man, you know who the top of my list is. We include streamers.
Oh, everybody.
We're just not funny.
Comedy guys.
I don't be on social media like that, so I don't know too much.
That's fine, but you know three words. You know the ones that you see.
King Batch definitely gotta be there. King Batch definitely gotta be there. I don't even think homie should even be carrying the word King no more. But
I have a question about him after. Go ahead.
If I had to put somebody, he's there.
You don't say hi. Just
throw oh, shit.
boy. Oh shit.
I'm really trying to think of because I don't want to say three and then now y'all throw somebody else out. And I'm like, yo, they garbage too. let's see. Put him in there. I probably go Drewski.
That's crazy.
Damn, bottom three.
I'm trying to think. Like, I got it. I don't know.
No,
I don't
that's fine. Run
like that.
Check. Y'all start putting folks on the side. Hey,
yeah, just dropping people name in here. So I can make.
Well, how you
feel? Who the hell is Aiden Ross?
DC Young Fly. DC.
I'm about to say, how do you feel about the 85 South show? How do you feel about?
Oh, it's perfect. It's perfect. Okay. It's a perfect mix. Yeah, cool. Now with DC, he probably from social media who just started on social media, he probably got the farthest. I'm pretty sure there's other people who's gotten pretty far, but to my knowledge right now off the top of my head, I don't think there's anybody else who's gotten as far as him just starting from that 15 seconds, you know, trying to roast people, and now this man, he's in movies in all these different places. So kudos to him. He is funny. I think he has an acquired taste, but I think the mixture with the 85 South, it's perfect. I think it's a perfect show.
The Paul brothers fall into that though. They started from Vine. Like they,
the part of they were doing comedy
on Vine. They were, I mean, they were. It was very cringy Vine stuff, but it grew into that original Disney deal they got and movies. But you did say black,
Fuck all that. Be Simone, the
Bottom. That's the name. That's the name that came across.
You got an old tear. Be Simone, not funny at all. Every time I aim, I'll be.
So I think Big M said that.
Simone. That garbage, bro. Every time she opened her mouth, I'm like, I want to rip my ear off. Though. Where's Mike Tyson? Son, this is ridiculous. Okay. Like, I can't. She has the bottom. She had the bottom. Oh, my God. You kidding me?
Not even trying to be disrespectful, because I want to get
I am. I'm trying to be disrespectful.
No. B. Simone, we could disrespect B. Simone. Do you think that the black women, like the comedy sphere, the social media comedy sphere, do you think that they're like really, really lacking?
Yeah, I think so, because it kind of gets with the whole bashing. Well, I hate the word bad, but it's gotten to a point now where everybody kind of saying the same thing. Nobody got nothing new per se. It's just, all right, what we're going to do is just come out here. We're going to trash men. We're going to trash black men specifically. And that's pretty much it. That's the only jokes that exist there. There's nothing else that's there. So it's just a bunch of hurt, broken, battered, you know, get the lowest possible available dick kind of women that just come out and we're going to make videos and we just going to hate on dudes. That's literally all they got.
You know? Well, I will one counter to that would be exactly E. Shout out E. She's great. She's a great creator. Does some great skills.
She don't be talking about like niggas doing her dirty though like that.
No, right? She doesn't. She's literally gamer girl, cosplay, type anime type shit. Like, she's dope woman. Love to have you on the party.
I think a lot of the women saw Desi Banks and they did that, but from like a woman's perspective, and then got louder. And they decided that that's like comedy to them.
Who's that one girl he worked with? The skinny light skin one?
Yeah, pretty.
You know what I'm talking about?
Pretty V.
Yeah, her. She's approaching B. Simone territory. I'm not gonna lie to you. She's approaching it. She's approaching it.
I don't know none of these. Hilarious.
Just hilarious.
Damn, all three of them on the fucking Wild Now, right? Dang,
all three of them are pretty. All the Wild and Out girls, not
pretty.
God damn.
Pretty V. Looks like she's like Coily Ray, but again, like she's Desi, but loud, and then talks about dick. And then I noticed that got nothing to do with the comedy. I seen Jess Hilarious nudes. I don't know.
She had nudes out there?
Yeah, she got more than nudes out there.
Yeah.
Oh, she one of them. Damn.
It wasn't like she put it out there. I did a quick search one time. I found a video clip. I mean,
it looks good. It looks good.
Jess is definitely. She's more than hilarious. I'll say that much.
Well, Danny. Oh! I think somebody. Fat Boy SS. Yeah. I throw. I don't know if he's doing comedy or if he's trying to be a rapper or whatever. But if I had to say the bottom three, B. Simone. She at the lowest possible bottom. And then you got Batch, King Batch, and then Fat Boy SS. Them three. Oh boy, I despise them. I ain't praying on nobody downfall. But damn it, if I'm in church, you know why I'm this.
B. Simone. I am. So let me ask you this then, because King Batch came before a lot of people. He laid the groundwork and the foundation. Do you think that he ruined opportunities for a lot of people?
Perhaps, because the opportunities that he ended up getting, I guess now they look for comedians to kind of be that kind of comedian. So you can't necessarily be raw. You can't toe the line of different sort, because on Vine he was doing certain things that was haha, you know, it's fun, but it was nothing that was really in depth or whatever. So if you actually had a message that you were trying to get out there, what you can't get nowhere with his kind of content. So in a sense, I think I don't want to say he ruined it, but it's just a perception of his kind of comedy that probably ruined it.
I have a question. This is definitely coming off of the comedy end and more just on the YouTube side of things. Was there a specific inspiration behind the creation of doing like game highlight commentaries, like the style of videos that you do? Because when I look, personally, you're one of the reasons I got into football again. You urinating trees, the way I did videos, got me back into football, loving it. I genuinely can't watch football now unless I'm watching Hold My Nugget Studios edition. Like I can't do it. So was there a certain inspiration behind it, or was it just like you found a niche to attack that no one was tapping into?
Well, growing up, I was always a fan of Chris Berman. and he did the NFL primetime on ESPN. But I have cable when I was really growing. So unless I was at my aunt's crib, I never really had a chance to see it. But it was when I was doing videos, I was doing commentary on literally anything, and I was doing my rants. I was doing all kinds of videos, but nothing was really sticking. And it was the 2017 NBA Finals. And for whatever reason, while I was watching the game, I think there was a sequence when LeBron had gotten a basket, and then on the other end, KD caught the ball, swung past LeBron. LeBron slipped and, like, slid. He didn't really get floored, but the casual fan would be like, yo, he got floored or whatever. I'm like, yo, I'd love to see what they're going to say in the highlights about this moment. Like, and then while I'm sitting there for like 5 minutes, I'm like, yo, why does nobody do funny commentary or voiceover over sports? And then it just dawned on me, yo, I should do that shit. So then the 2017 finals, I did game 1, 2, and 3, and then all three of them, it kept, you know, growing in views. So the first one got like 18,000 on Facebook. The second one got to 35. The third one got to 72,000. And all of these were like, within a 2-day span, they had gotten all those views. I'm like, oh shit, maybe I should cover sports. And then I got blocked because I did a video on crackheads having superpowers. That got to like 2 mil, and then they banned me for like a whole week. They took down that video, so I couldn't upload. And the NBA Finals ended in 5. So by the time I got unbanned, there was no more, you know, there was no demand for that kind of video. But then going into the NFL season, the same thing happened. Somebody should be doing funny commentary over football highlights. I should make funny commentary over football highlights. And it wasn't until Nick Folk's, you know, day of missing all them field goals that it really started to gain traction. But yeah, it was just I was sitting there and then I was watching it like, yo, I need an idea for a video to get something to stick. And then ultimately I said, damn, I'm gonna start making these videos. And here we are 5 years later.
All right, two football questions. First one, death being pointed at the earth. You got to have a 45-yard field goal straight down the middle. You only can pick one kicker, and they give you two options. Nick Folk, Cody Parkey. Who are you picking?
Mm. Nick Folk.
Nick Folk?
Mm. Nick Folk, because Cody Parkey is so accurately inaccurate. I don't even got to think about it. Nick Folk's made a resurgence ever since, you know, he left the NFL, went to the AAF, then ended up coming back, going to the Patriots. He's done a hell of a job. He should have been in the Pro Bowl 2 of the last 3 years. But Cody Parkey, if I ever see him in person, I'm ripping that man leg off, dog. That dude, I ain't never seen somebody hit the upright as many times as him. It don't make no sense.
Didn't he hit the left to the right one time? Like,
yeah, he hit the left to the right three times. This man playing Connect Four with the damn upright. I ain't never seen some shit like that in my life. Mm-mm.
So, second question. If I had to ask you, four teams you would be excited to see in this upcoming season, who would these four teams be? And of course, you can't say the Steelers. There's only three Steelers fans I respect. That's you, your name Trees, and Sage right here. So you can't say Steelers.
Yes,
okay.
I'm not going to rip in the Steelers, but four teams.
Four teams that I'm looking forward to seeing. Mm-hmm. Well, the Rams for one.
Okay.
The Rams. The Lions. Because I actually, it's something about Dan Campbell. I don't know if it's about him threatening to eat people's kneecaps or whatever, but I feel like their inability to finish in the fourth quarter, they're going to surprise people this year. I actually have them going to the playoffs because I think they're going to win those games that they ended up blowing in the fourth quarter. I think they're going to hold on, and all of a sudden, by week 12 or something, they're going to be sitting on like 8 or 9 wins, and people are going to know where the fuck the Lions came from. So I'd say Rams, Lions, the Chargers. I'm interested to see what the Chargers are going to look like.
Chargers about to go dummy.
Uh-huh. And then I'd probably say Las Vegas.
Thank you. You're not hearing it. Your team's not interesting, bro. Those fucking fins don't matter. Nobody wants to see
fin?
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Listen here.
Nobody cares about Devontae Parker left, y'all. Nobody cares about Tyreek Hill running streaks for 2 to throw 10 yards, bro. Nobody gives a fuck.
You know what's crazy?
Oh, wait, 2 gloves on. Nobody cares. We don't care. We don't care.
And you know what's crazy? Y'all have never met a toxic Dolphins fan before, and this year, we out this bitch. Fins up. We swim in these waters.
It's going to get murky. Like, nigga, whatever.
Hey, listen, we overachieve. We overachieve for 2 years without the proper pieces on our offense, and now we have arguably one of the most exciting offenses in the NFL. Don't worry about it, man. Everybody's worried about Tua's arm. It don't matter. Listen, what? Name five more exciting. Not better. I guarantee you. We might not be one of the five best offenses. But exciting? Bro, one end we have Tyreek Hill.
Rams healthy. Second, more.
First of all,
I fucking hate their
definitely
gut.
More? I don't know about definitely more.
Nigga, Odell and Cooper Cup. Shut the fuck up. Anyway.
First of all, you don't even know what Odell you're getting. All right, sir. All right. Here listen.
He's nasty. Thank you. I'm glad someone else sees this. Gross, bro.
Y'all really let Matt Stafford convince y'all that Baker Mayfield ruined Odell.
All right,
he catches two footballs, and now, oh, bro, OBJ can moonwalk again. Fuck out of here.
Okay, I literally can't believe we're having a Dolphins conversation.
The Bills offense is exponentially more exciting. I think you would even admit that. That's just a fact.
Okay, that's one. That's one.
Oh, that's one. I fucking
whatever. Whatever.
I ain't gonna lie, I'm gonna piss you off just because it's kind of close. Broncos, I want to see that.
It's not kind of close. It's not kind of close.
Yeah, you know what? I'd say the Broncos. I'd want to see the Broncos. I don't even think about the Dolphins when I think of football, so I don't know what to God damn. How'd you even become a Dolphins fan? Why would you do this
For the ones that must know, as a little jit, as a young ute, you know, I was a Ricky Williams fan. I like Ricky Williams. He happened to be on the Dolphins, and I think I had like a signed jersey for him one time when I went to Disney World. Hey, bro, I don't abandon
the bandwagon. Yeah, we don't, didn't it? You got high when you were young, and you ain't never been a Cubs fan.
Dombo, you told me you were a Richie Incognito guy. That's what I thought you said.
I've never said that.
I thought that's what you said. Omar.
First of all, 28-3. Stay over there. All right. Don't talk to me. All right. 28-3. Stay over there.
Damn. Oh, he had to cut off the dog cap. God damn.
Well, first of all, hey, Colts up, baby. Colts in the building.
Hey, the Colts. JT more exciting than your whole team.
You know what's crazy? JT's more exciting than your whole team. This is fine. I'm glad, you know what's crazy? I'm glad I'm getting this out the way now because I'm going to mark it. Halfway through the season, I'm going to be watching the 2022 or 2023 week 13 game highlight commentary. And then I'm going to hear
a bunch of Chargers out there.
At some point, you know, the Dolphins are going to have a pretty good record. We're going to be looking like a pretty good team. And I'm going to hear one of my favorite YouTubers say, at the start of the season, I was pretty wrong about the Dolphins. And now they're just waddling to the fucking promised land because Big Waddle is going crazy with Cheetah next to him, Raheem Mostert in the backfield, along with...
Mostert will be there?
I've never seen somebody so excited to play Madden. It's crazy.
I'm saying,
I am excited to play Madden.
I got 99 speed. Shut the fuck up, bro. Injuries off, bro. You a bitch is on the man, bro.
Chat, remember this day. Remember this day.
Listen,
we're gonna play a game for a minute. We're gonna try to get canceled. Okay. Since we're on the topic of football, Adonis, what are your opinions on Deshaun Watson and the situation that he's in right now?
Oh, shit. I thought he was gonna say things that could get us canceled. So I just get the ball rolling. First off, Lizzo's the right guard. But regarding Deshaun Watson,
Well, you said she was right.
No, she's a right guard. Like, nah, she ain't right about nothing.
Oh my god.
Yeah, she definitely not right about her diet. But we're not talking about that right now. But I would have to say, with Deshaun Watson, I think there's a number of women who happen to have the allegations against it that probably do have a legitimate case. But the only thing that raised, you know, put my eyebrows through my hairline was like, why the hell you got to have a different masseuse in every city you go to? I'm not. It's kind of questionable. Like, don't get me wrong. I think there are some people who agreed to things and now they jumped onto the bandwagon of, yo, we going to, you know, sue against him as well and jump in here, see if we could get a bag. But it's kind of hard to try to defend this man at one point. Your lawyer talk about, I didn't know happy endings was illegal. All right. See,
That was nasty, bro.
His lawyer talking about the semantics of what makes a happy ending.
His lawyer don't know the law, bro. Lawyer don't know the law, bro. Nigga get arrested on spot.
I didn't know he had playing a
dangerous game. Like, they gonna pull up footage. It's only a matter of time before they pull up footage.
Just Just imagine the R. Kelly footage. That's crazy. He see the footage lawyer like, that ain't legal. You can't do that. All right, fuck. Lock me up.
Right. I thought that was one that was going to get us there.
Thought the point was to be happy.
Before we go there, let me Chris sends $5 saying Cody Parquet ever shows his face in Chicago again, and that man's body will never be found. No kidding. Double doink still hurts.
That could be Chris is wild.
Let me go ahead and get into this video. Maybe this one will get us canceled. This is
BJ Academics. So this is really the canceled podcast.
And to keep it real, if you think about it in the bigger scheme of things, there's not much difference between a 20 or a 17 or a 21 and a 17. Just kind of mean one's a minor and one's not a minor. But I will say, listen, I adopted this rule, which I think it was fine. I said, listen, man, as long as a chick got a college ID, she's getting f***ed. I don't care if she's 17. I don't care if she's 17 and a half. I don't care if she just turned 17. She's going to get this dick.
Nah.
Y'all sick, bro.
Y'all sick, I didn't say that. Nah. I didn't tell that nigga to say that either. I don't know what y'all gonna do with this.
Man, one hit a quitter. TKO. Yo, that's a sick negro.
Why would you say this?
Get him out of here, bro.
Now to be fair to him, which apparently I'm supposed to be doing, he wasn't 31. He didn't say this yesterday. He said this when he was 25, so still way older, but crazy question. Adonis, is there a difference between 21 and 17?
Yeah, the law. I don't know why you'd even play that game. Like, unless he was going the avenue of day in college, then maybe you can try to get an argument, but there is really no, you can't say that and think that you not going to sound like you trying to participate in the R. Kelly challenge. Like, you really tripping right now.
R. Kelly challenge.
Ain't no way. This man is like EDP out here. What you, to 21, 17? There's no difference? All right. Hey, I hope you like cold showers in prison, brother.
Nah, man.
Cold showers and a loofah.
So you think he should be deplatformed for something like this?
I think he should. I don't want to say deplatformed, to where, you know, somebody canceled, gets completely can't. I think there need to be a conversation, because if he said this, like, if he's 30, you said he's 31 right now. Yeah. So this was what, year five years ago. So if this is years ago, I think there should be a conversation that's had to see if he still has this view, because I don't like people getting canceled for some shit they said years prior. But that's wild. Yeah. That's wild shit. Where'd they even find? Somebody must have been sitting on this clip.
Yeah, somebody pissed him off. Somebody got pissed and said, "Bet I got something for your ass." Because
so wait, with that being said, you actually do believe in cancel culture, then, don't you?
No, I not necessarily. I think there needs to be if there's something that was said or whatever, I think there should be conversations, like the dialogue about what was said, to see how somebody feels about something. But I don't think people should necessarily be deplatformed or something, because the same way that somebody could say something that you don't agree with, somebody else can agree with them. So you'll always be able to get a following no matter what it is that you say. And who are you to deem what is right or wrong? Now, granted, if there's laws that's, you know, intact, then at that point you got to obey the law. But still, I don't think necessarily people should be canceled per se.
Dang. I don't know. I think I disagree a little bit, but I don't think it's ever really happened in a significant enough way for me to say, like, oh, somebody's actually been canceled. Maybe you could say R. Kelly, maybe, but it's folks out there.
People still ask, gas station. Can I listen to R. Kelly?
Yeah, I went to the gas station and they were sliding in there. Said I know that. Yeah, they was dancing up in that motherfucker. So
you don't think EDP's canceled? Like, you wouldn't consider him?
Yeah, he's the only one where I would say he's just 100%.
They say he's got an Instagram.
No, yeah, he's got a new YouTube. I think he keeps changing the name or whatever. But he still has people who, you know, and it's very fresh. Like, we're still very young into him, you know, getting his stuff deleted and everything. It's been like, what, a little over a year. So if we talk about like cancel culture, somebody being canceled, what's the timeline of being canceled? Because somebody being gone for, let's say, 12, 13 some months, who's to say 2023 ain't the rise once again of EDP coming back? So that's kind of where I look at cancel culture. Like, what do we deem somebody being canceled through and through?
And that's the thing that I see though in cancel culture is that they take this time off. Everybody does it. Even Travis for like, you know, whether you thought Travis should have been canceled for what happened at his concerts or not, Kris Jenner told him, "Hey, just lay low." And that's what he did. He laid low for a minute, let a bunch of other stuff, gas price, all this other stuff rose up. And then I think it was like last week or so, it was like, "Oh yeah, Travis got some new music coming out." And everybody's like, "Oh, I'm excited to hear that." But everybody just forgot, "Oh, you know, well, people did die at his event."
That's not funny.
I mean, shouldn't stuff like that go in?
You got to clear that up on this, John, bro. You gotta be a fucking robot on this motherfucker. God.
But wouldn't you say, like, for a guy like EDP, even if, like, so say 2023, 2024, whatever, he tries to make another push into the surge, isn't the fact that you're still going to have a vast majority of people who aren't EDP fans, who knew nothing about EDP, only found out about him because he's a disgusting creep, they're going to just scream under every chance that they get, "Yo, he's a disgusting freak." And that's going to be – that's stamped on his forehead. That's like basically putting pedophile on his forehead. I don't even know if you say that. Mm-hmm. Crazy. But stamp that on his forehead. Like, that's stamped. That's cancel culture. Like, regardless if he does have 50,000 people that be like, "Oh, no, I don't care what he did. He's my favorite YouTuber." For those 50,000 fans, there's still 500,000 people spamming on all other social medias. "Yo, he's a pedo. I'm pulling up to whatever job he has and getting it out of here. He's trying to do Uber. Niggas is calling Uber, getting them fired. Niggas getting kicked out of hotels." That's going to keep happening. They're not going to stop doing it.
But I think it's a different – it's not necessarily because of what he did, because you can look at somebody like James Charles. But I think with EDP, the reason why it stuck with him was because he built his entire platform on being a troll. So all his followers – not all of them, but the vast majority were trolls themselves. So now when the trolls turn against you, they troll you. So no matter what he does in life, he's going to continually be trolled because of how he built his platform. Now, if you talk about somebody like a James Charles who took time off from YouTube, lost sponsorships or whatever, got demonetized for a period. Now, I believe he's fully monetized again. He's still got, you know, sponsors, you know, that's since returned. And he's posting like ain't nothing happened. And both of them were talking to underage people. But it's because of EDP's following and how he built his following. And then on top of that, on his case, you know, they actually had a whole channel.
Yeah, I'm about to say, yeah,
the act the way he as was he's called. Trying to go get them cupcakes. So for him, it was a much, you know, a different sort of situation. But it really comes down to your following, what it is that you're doing, because a lot of times, especially when you have a fan base, some people will just be some blind supporters. Like, no matter what it is that you do, they still gonna rock with you. Like, if Beyonce, if the news came out tomorrow, Beyonce killed somebody, just in cold blood, first degree, some shit like that. Great percentage of her fan base, man, that person who died probably had it coming. She had a reason for it. You got no details. You still going to roll and support. So, and there'll be some other people who try to drown out what it is that happened. But you can't necessarily cancel, you know, individuals who've gotten to a high level. So EDP, he's not necessarily there. But if he were to make a comeback next year, if they allow him to exist in the space, as long as they don't just keep taking away his channels and shit, he's not necessarily going to be canceled.
It's tough. Did the guy that reported him get canceled? Because I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah, he did.
He was like 50 times worse. Someone in the chat brought it up as well. Nah, if y'all don't know, he was worse, 1,000,000%. I don't know if he got canceled. That probably
he did. He faded off the face of the earth after people found the videos of him dropping an N-bomb, finding out that he was trying to basically lure underage women into basically being the bait
to
catch people trying to get underage women.
We gonna set him up with this, but you guys sending me first. Like, he crazy, bro.
Yeah, like he was basically being a test screening beforehand and all this weird, just being super weird and racist. And
he just got caught in a, I think it was one of those, the anti-gun protest or something like that. Like a couple of weeks ago, he was actually in there. I think he had gotten like into a back and forth with a group of women or something like that, because he's very pro-gun and everything. So then I think he got caught up in that. That was like the last that I heard of this dude for like a year since the whole thing had happened.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't really have, I don't think he had a huge, a following like that to where he could have, you know, because the EDP story was really the biggest thing that got him on the map, and then ultimately what got him off the map.
I think what you said earlier was important though. Like, we need to come to a consensus as to what true canceling actually looks like. And I don't think we'll ever be on that type of time, because like you said, there's gonna be some people no matter what happened. I mean, R. Kelly was caught on video peeing on, you know, an underage girl. We've seen the aftermath of Rihanna and Chris Brown. He admits to it. And, you know, it is what it is. We hear these people's voices now saying these things. Like, there's video evidence of this. And people still just do not care. But I think canceling, to me, would be everybody get on the same accord and we just bury this person. But truly, that's never been the case. Like, that has never been the case. I thought at one time they took R. Kelly off of Spotify. And I just found out yesterday, one, they put him back on. And two, it was only from the playlist feature. So they weren't going to recommend him. But the way the headlines were, I remember them, they were like, yeah, R. Kelly removed from Spotify, but it wasn't even to that extent. I don't know.
It's the same thing tried to do to X. They tried to do the same thing to X, blacklist him from being in recommended, and you had to really search to hear his music specifically. They took him off the playlisting. The same thing to Tory Lanez, which is I'm still waiting for that verdict to come out, even though it seems like it's been forever with that one. I'm still waiting to come out and want to hear Tory's innocent, so I can see him get his just dues. If he is innocent, if he's
listening to his album,
I didn't do the thing you told me. I was like, he's gonna push this button, bro. You about to push the goddamn button, bro. Oh my god. I mean, what do you think about this situation, Donis? I ain't gonna lie.
With Tory and Meg?
Yeah.
Man, I'm Team Tory. I can't lie to you, dog. Like, it just don't seem like things don't add up right. The whole fact that it's like, yo, you gonna say somebody shot you? You wasn't facing homie. So it's like kind of just he say she say kind of situation, and it's one side that's very loud that's pushing towards, yo, he did this, he did, and he stayed silent. He ain't say much. And then the fact that he's so confident in the case, and it's Meg that it seemed like she's kind of like that she's saying this. Well, this don't line up with that. Then she's saying that. This don't line up with that. So it's kind of a situation where I'm looking at it like, I don't necessarily want to say I'm Team Tory in a sense, but I'm going to wait till all the factuals come out. But from the way it's been looking, especially with the fact that she was like, yo, yeah, we wasn't intimate. We wasn't doing all this other stuff. But they had a party together. They doing all these different flirtatious photos and stuff. He talking about her in the way that he's talking about her. She making it seem like they was never on that kind of level. So it just seemed like something ain't right. Something ain't clicking.
Yeah, listen, that's like deadass exactly what I'd be saying, bro. I'm not Team Tory, whatever, but I find it hard to say she gets the dub in this case. It's like something don't fucking make sense, bro.
You get shot in your foot, no ligaments or tendons, nothing of that. Nate, you wearing heels on just out in the next, like it was a couple of weeks. Shorty outside, healed up, walking in this. This don't make sense.
I grew up, one of my favorite movies, Harlem Nights. I'm Team Tory. Anybody seen Harlem Nights? No, we shooting toes off. But Tory didn't do it. He's innocent. I definitely knew there was a lot of inconsistencies with the stories that she was telling. The fact that now in the court situation, you have witnesses of like the residents that were there, like the residents in the neighborhood where they got pulled over saying they seen her, the two women fighting in the car and having a disagreement and an argument. And the consistent argument and story from Tory's side has been the fact that, hey, man, you hit two friends and they found out about each other. That's what the story that people were having for Tory. Like, Meg got jealous, May, whatever situation that the fucking Jenner party, Kardashian party, whoever party it was, they leave, girls get mad, and now it's, oh, who shot Meg, and Meg is blaming Tory. I always said, there's no way I'm defending somebody who shot me. If a man shot you, I don't care what social climate we are in. I don't care which guy we're protesting for that week. There is no, oh, you shot me, but you're still a black man. I'm going to protect you. No, your life's in danger. You got shot. That's when I knew immediately, Team Tory, fully Team Tory. I don't believe in liars.
Don't make no sense. You're going to hold your tongue for the person who was shot you, and then you put it under you try to shield it as well. You know, I was trying to protect him. What? That don't make sense.
Yeah, I ain't gonna say she's smack lying, but some don't add up. At the end of the day, some fucking stupid. I can't wait for it to come out.
I can't either. I'm a little real stupid if it come out that he's guilty.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that. Yeah, he just playing the shit cool. Hey, some don't add up. Somebody
OJ played it cool. Hey, OJ played it cool. That's all I know.
Well, he did it.
My body was cool too.
Yeah, I'm about to say,
yo,
no, it was after they laid on the ground for a couple hours, was cool.
If the glove don't fit,
my spot to be cut up like Nicole Brown Sims. We ain't talking about that right now.
I just got to chill in my room.
I can't believe niggas didn't realize this nigga's hand swole. That was crazy. So what I do, last question before we get into some fan questions. You've been deplatformed a lot of times. You've been banned, kicked, canceled, whatever word people want to use. Do you feel that it's, I don't know, a little unfair that people of higher stature have not seen the same consequences as you? Because I would think if you said the same thing that academics just said, which you wouldn't say, but the same thing he said, you will probably get banned again or whatever the case may be. But academics came out yesterday. He did a little apology. Hey, I'm sorry. And then just keep moving with his life. Do you feel like it's unfair when the higher creators don't see the same sort of punishment?
No, I used to when I was much younger. I think when I was fresh into the game that I definitely used to think that way. But then now it's like, yo, we all run a different race per se. But then at the same time, when you get to a certain level, you're at such a high platform, you could get away with a bit more because you have leverage. So somebody like me who's up and coming per se, I'm not in a spot in which I have any leverage to where if some news were to come out or whatever that I can try to combat it. You get somebody who's on a high, you know, platform and you have these connections, you have these sponsorships, you have, you know, you're getting a bag from different sort of locations. And moreover, you're bringing a lot of viewership to different sort of platforms. You're in a spot to where you can kind of, you know, whether it's hush money or you just put out a statement and then everybody moves on. You're in a spot where you can do that. If you're somebody like me who don't got no leverage, you just got a number of followers behind you or whatever. The moment that, you know, the people turn on you or then scandals happen to come out, you kind of just got to roll with the punches. You know, you just got to adapt to where you at and then move from there.
You think if you were cleaner, you would be bigger?
Probably. I would not be surprised if that was the case. But it wouldn't be me. Like, and I think watching Gary V be him, with whether it's being overly, like the people call it toxic positivity that he has, but Gary V watching it is crazy. That's the kind of society we live in. Are you too positive? You're something wrong with this person.
Yep.
So watching him be as positive as he has, and then also, well, luckily it's not the kind of positive that, you know, Magic Johnson got, but we're not talking about that right now. But him being positive and then also him cursing while talking to whether it's children or whatever, seeing him be able to grow and be authentically him, that's one of the reasons why I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to dumb it down. And also Patrice O'Neal being one of my biggest comedic influences. If people get it, they get it. If they don't, they don't. But I would rather rock with the people who view me and roll with me than to constantly try to sell myself to get the new viewer. So what I've been able to, why I've grown at, although it's 6 years getting to 500,000, a lot of people are like, man, that's, you know, that's a fast time. I'm still playing the incredible slow game. Like, I'm looking at this like I'm 10% into my whole comedy journey. So I was never getting into it for like the instant, yo, I need to be at a million in 16 months or something like that. Nah, fuck all that. I got my goals, but I'm happy with playing the slow game and catering to an audience that actually fuck with me rather than, you know, being a caricature of myself and lying and putting out something that I'm really not.
But don't you think that comes with a cap though? Like you Chiseled Adonis won't be in the Tyler Perry movies, probably, you know.
I got no problem with that because I look at it like this. I've always, since I was a kid, I've always been the kind of person that, oh, well, they don't want me there. I can't go there. Cool. I'll make my own shit. I've always been that kind of person. So ultimately, the reason why I went so hard online was I don't want to be that guy who is now dependent on the industry to whether it's booking shows or it dependent on the industry to get to different sort of locations. No, I'm going to build my own demand. And then when I want to do some, I got my own people and then I pull up and I do it. So I don't gotta, I don't need to be in your movie. I don't gotta be over here. All right, cool. I'm gonna learn how to make my own films. I'll reach out to somebody who, you know, they work here. They work, we make our own independent shit, and it's gonna be raw. It's gonna be me, and it's gonna be our own shit.
Yeah, dog. Like when you do sports content, I mean, you fucking know way better than me. But like, cause you got NFL communities and shit. That's what I was gonna ask you, what's most toxic, but I'll get to that in a second. When you do sports content, it's too easy to fall into the PC, just say this team's good. Say you could fucking think the Lions fucking suck, and you got to talk about why the Hawk is next coming and shit. Like you got to talk all PC and shit. And I feel like that Omar honestly has a lower cap than what Adonis is doing, and we can have that conversation if we want. I feel like just being another plant, another person with the numbers and statistics that say everything that you'd see on like First Take. I feel like that has a lower cap. Honest.
Yeah, your longevity is definitely capped off. Like you're gonna be replaced. Like Perkins and what's his name? Ryan Hollins or whatever. Yeah, they're the same thing. So as soon as I don't know in the next 2 years, Al Horford retires, I'm replacing Ryan Hollins with Al Horford. Like it just don't. If that's the type of guy you're gonna be, you're gonna get capped off. I understand that, but like I said, you won't be in the Tyler Perry movie.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
Some people are willing to not be in a Tyler Perry movie means keeping pushing them being them.
Yeah, the blessing is that, like, granted, TikTok might be ruining everybody's attention span, but the blessing is, like, as long as you're on social media, you're good, in my opinion. Like, for example, you might not get the shit. He might not be on what? Tyler Perry, you said?
Yeah.
But he on the keep it a buck type shit. It's like, nah, but he on a like he might go on like 85 South or any other pod he wants, any other content creators type shit. Things that would fit him, his crowd, and people like even in our chat right now, they're seeing this motherfucker and they're like, oh, this guy's funny as fuck. Who's this guy? Like that matters more than, going to ESPN. Oh, this guy made a couple of jokes. All right, bet I'm watching Stephen A tomorrow. Like that matters more to me personally.
And I will also say the trade-off you get for not being in a Tyler Perry movie and sticking out doing your own thing is you build more genuine fans. Yep, that's an advantage, and we can use this podcast, for example, how deep we are with our Discord, the fact that one of us is in there every day. We're in there every day. We're close to these niggas. You saw these niggas. We're like family. You build that when you stay doing you stay being yourself. You stay being real, whether as genuinely positive, genuinely negative, whatever it is, you just be unfiltered and be real. People love that. So when you have a person, whether that's 500K, 20K, 5K, that's the most dedicated, loyal 500K, 20K, or 5K you're going to get versus these people who have this crazy 1 mil sub account platform, but it's not for that person. It's for he's going to make whatever trendy content. He's gonna check out the boxes and it's just another cookie fucking copy paste type of creator.
Yeah, it's the worst kind. Cause for me, I look from anybody who can tell you who's been following me for a long time, from 2016 when I first made the channel until probably midway through 2019 or maybe tail end of 2018, I replied to damn near every comment, every DM. Whether I was going live, I try to address everybody that's in there. There's some people in here who tune into my live streams. I may not have thousands upon thousands of people who tune in. I average about like 500, 600 people on the live stream. But every time I go live, we in tune with each other. I get invited to weddings. Next month, one of my subscribers is having a wedding in South Carolina. I'm really leaning towards going. And pulling up because I actually, with my following, I support what they got going on. Oh, you graduated? Yo, let's acknowledge this person who graduated. Matter of fact, how many people graduated this year? Yo, everybody in the comment section, shout them out. Yo, I'd love to do fan meetups, all of this kind of situation because I'm more about the relationship that you build with the people who rocking with you. I don't like when you got people who you start to grow, get bigger and bigger. You got all these eyes on you or whatever, and now all of a sudden you Hollywood. I'll never be that person because it's all about the actual community with me.
That's a fact.
I think everybody agrees. I'm going to let Omar dominate the topic, but I just got to know, as a person that does a damn near every sport in the book, most toxic fan base in sports, whether it's team specific, sports category one, and then if you can, team or player specific.
So if I had to say sports category, probably football, because I'm most invested in football. So I'd have to say football. And then if I had to say the most toxic fan base, man, I'd have to say maybe Dallas. I think probably
Cowboys fans, yeah.
Cowboys fans up there. Cowboys fans.
I'd probably have to say Cowboys.
Now I do have an NBA bias. I do got to throw out some reminders of what's in the NBA. Y'all Bron sexuals. Y'all 2022 Curry fans. Y'all Russ fans. I'm just
like isolated player fans are probably the most toxic.
Okay.
Of all kinds, because it gets further than just team. And sport, it's like it gets crazy. Like the fact that the Bron sexual, it don't make sense. Like you can't have an actual conversation about anything without these people. Bro, what about LeBron? What about LeBron? Like we talking about women's basketball? What's going on over here? You talk about competitive curling. Well, LeBron, we're killing it. Damn, get off your knees, brother. You got lotion up your knees. Like these people, it's crazy. I've never experienced some shit like that in my life until I really started. Like I can't have conversations with people like that. Because if you constantly talking about one isolated player like this, you don't care about the flow of the game. You don't care about coaching. You don't care about the opposing team. You don't care about the past and what happened. You only care about this one player and how you can try to prove they better than everybody and just discount all kinds of facts and shit. It just don't make no sense.
Well, man, I call everybody that's only a fan of a player a coward. Because I say you're not ready to deal with the hardship. Bro, you're a coward. If you can't deal with the fact that a team will suffer time and time and again, but you're quick to be like, oh, I'm a Bron fan. Bron getting old. I'm a Giannis fan. Shut the fuck up. Like you're dead a coward. You're a coward. You're a bitch. I ain't gonna lie. That's some bitch shit. That's some shit that like women who do not watch sports, not saying all women, women that do not watch sports, they do. They'd be like, who number 77? I like Luka. Like, bruh, that's some bitch shit. That's some bitch shit. You a bitch.
Sage is ready to get on the women. Listen, I know I know you got to. No, I'm just saying. Hey, listen, Sage on the way to tie it back in the women. Wow. I know you got to go because I know you're going to stream the game. We have one fan question, though. I want to bring him up on stage so he can ask you a question.
Yo, what the
fuck? Award-winning fan. We are about the community as well. This is one of our favorites. He, the MVP of last year. The MVP MVP.
Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? But you know what's crazy about being the award-winning fan? I never got the award. Dang. Never got anything sent to me. Didn't even get the t-shirts either. Cruz.
It's in the jet.
You are worried about the wrong
thing.
It's
in the mail.
Ask your question.
All right, bet. So, do y'all know what's going on with the state of YouTube right now and the copyright shit with what the hell's his name? Quantum TV or some stuff. Have y'all heard about that?
I barely know, but I heard.
No.
Okay, so there's this thing going around where this guy named the Actman, he's a pretty popular YouTuber right now. And he had this whole thing with this guy called Quantum TV or some dude. And he striked Actman because Actman used one of Quantum TV's videos. And so he went to YouTube, he got his YouTube video taken down. And so now with this whole thing going on, I know Chiseled, he's been through this numerous times. Susan has been screwing him over for years. And with that going on, do you think with the state of YouTube right now with this whole copyright stuff, do you think that's gonna be like, I know it's a lot of problems with YouTube, but I feel like that's like going to be one of the prominent ones that's going to be up there. Do y'all think that's going to be like even more of a problem with the way copyright is handled on YouTube right now?
Probably, just to answer the question, probably because a lot of people are growing on reaction channels. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's, original, the people who made the original videos now, striking everybody who makes a reaction, especially if it's a situation where somebody's getting hate for something. Like, let's say it's a podcast that somebody doesn't necessarily agree with. So now you make a reaction video to the podcast clip. Your video blows up, the other person's starting to get hate. So what they'll do is go to YouTube and say, yo, I want this video removed. Now, all of a sudden, other people will follow that same metric. So a lot of people will mess around and lose their video. So do I think that'll happen down the line? Yes. But the only problem would be fair use was put in motion to where this kind of stuff can happen. But if the original creator wants to take stuff down, then they have all the grounds to do so. Now it's a question of, are they changing the definition of fair use? Because if that happens, now a shit ton of YouTubers are about to be fucked.
My God,
that's what I think. That's my fear. That's my fear. Because when Fresh and Fit did their shit, playback kind of like, it got, you know what I'm saying, Uno reverse carded on them. But with this whole YouTube thing with Quantum TV and Ackman, I feel like YouTube is kind of changing their guidelines. And especially like if, because YouTube, they play favorites. Everybody plays favorites.
Yeah.
YouTube ain't different. I feel like they're going to start changing the guidelines for some of their popular YouTubers if this starts to happen to them. You know what I'm saying? Somebody makes a YouTube video about, let's say, Mr. Beast. He don't like that stuff. You know, YouTube is going to go above and beyond to make sure that that YouTube video gets taken down that happened about, that got talked about Mr. Beast. And I feel like that's going to be, it ain't going to be their downfall because there's no other platform that's on YouTube's level. But it's also going to be like, it's going to make YouTube not fun anymore. You feel me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree.
I feel it. I mean,
good question and everything.
Great question. Great talking point. Yeah.
Good question.
Get out of here.
Chronic actually didn't get bullied this time. That's crazy. Chronic, how does it feel? We took you
seriously. Nah, I'm about to bully him. Yo, bro, you in the military, and I know y'all get free haircuts. Take advantage. Oh. That shit is insane.
Hey, Omar.
You still got that unauthentic? That's crazy.
He's just about to say something, too. Oh, I know he's sick. God,
you don't got
damn.
Nobody else up for the Q&A? No other people? Nah, we just doing Chronic?
Nah, and Adonis got to go, too. Listen. I had a great time. This was actually a very good conversation. I know where I'll be watching the game, watching the live stream from. But hand of applause, round of applause for our friend, our brother, Chiseled Adonis.
Oh, round of applause. Oh, yeah, he might get what's that shit, guest of the year?
Guest
is
of
this
the year.
That's my vote.
Is this the contender chat? Let us know.
Number one contender.
Guest of the
let
year.
Let us know.
Favorite.
Tell folks where to find you because it's not Pornhub anymore. So tell folks where to find
you. Yeah, it's not Pornhub anymore. Oh, well, then again, I might make another channel and just do innuendo. So I'll just start putting titles that I'll probably think, you know, one would think it's actual porn when it's not. Black Man Menon still is standing inside a bedroom. But you can find me on YouTube, at Chiseled Adonis, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Chiseled Adonis Reloaded. That's probably going to get taken away within the next couple of weeks. I've made a new TikTok today, literally this morning. Not Chiseled Adonis. Hopefully people don't figure out it's actually me. That's on TikTok over there. And yeah, you know, just anywhere Chiseled Adonis, you can find me online, man. I appreciate everybody who's subscribed. I appreciate everybody who tuned in. And moreover, I appreciate you guys for having me on.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Oh man,
sir.
We appreciate you coming.
Yo, suck his dick and lick his balls, bro. Damn. Check out. No. Damn.
Say goodbye.
Hey, chat. Prayers up that the refs don't suck tonight. But if they do, pray they ain't like dumb, bro. Jesus, man. Come on, dude. That's a goddamn humility.
Perhaps you get stronger in June.
Dom, we'll say goodbye to the people.
All right, Chaz, been your mom for my nice snack, and we will be back. Hey, man, as you see today, my co-host brothers, they're hating at my happiness. Listen, they lied to you. They lied to you when they said don't meet your idols. It's a great feeling, bro. It's a great feeling.
I'm going to go eat. I had a good time. Bye, guys.